The Ben Coley Podcast.
What's going on? This is episode 22. It's been a little while since I last did a podcast. I've been flat out, but I thought, you know what? I need to interview an artist that's pretty special. I'll get onto that. Firstly, just say that this podcast is all about new music. It's all about discovering under the radar artists, giving them a little bit of a platform, giving them a bit of a push. Consider this a pit stop for new music, where you can find and discover some new sounds that you want to get into your library to give a go. Shout out, as always, to the great people over at Indie Central Music who sponsor this podcast. They do amazing reviews, they do interviews, and real in-depth analysis of up-and-coming bands and artists, particularly indie bands. I used to write for them years and years ago. I think it was during my first year at uni. I love what those guys are doing. They're giving the platform to fantastic up-and-coming artists. Go and check them out, indiecentralmusic.com, or go and follow them on their socials. Now, Iris is a pretty special artist. I think she's leading the way in Scandi pop right now. She's from Bergen in Norway. She produces this amazing, enchanting mixture of pop and synth. And I think Scandinavian pop's already in good hands, right? I mean, you've got the incredible dark electronic pop that Aurora brings out. You've also got the straight-up pop bangers of Sigrid. There's loads of other artists in there as well, like Blondage or Little Dragon. But Iris is an artist that stands out to me separately. She's fiercely honest in her songwriting, and whenever I listen to her music, I really feel like I'm walking through an enchanted forest, something like that. I first came across Iris back in 2018. It was a single that she brought out then called From Inside a Car. It was one of her first ever singles, and I interviewed her on my student radio show way back. It was her first ever UK radio interview, which I'm like, still got bragging rights for that one. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And I also caught her a gig in Camden Assembly in 2019. She was unreal. It was like a small little intimate gig that I caught the train. I was living in Gerrard's Cross at the time. I was like, gotta check her out. I chatted to her after the show. We chatted to some of her team. All lovely people. And she's just dropped her debut album. It's called Love and Other Disasters. And whilst on the surface you'd be like, okay, Love and Other Disasters is a heartbreak album, it's more than that. She's approaching this album with so much confidence. And yeah, there's that emotional fragility in there, but there's a lot more depth to it. So I chatted to her all about it. I want to start by saying thank you for what I think is one of the best albums of the year. And I mean that genuinely. I think that it's full of hope, optimism, pain. It's got honesty in there, fragility. But also I think there's tracks in there like Le Petit Mort where you're celebrating sexuality as well. There's so many different sides to it. How do you feel to have your debut album out?
First of all, thank you. That's a big compliment. It feels really good, actually, because I'm so happy about it. Like, I'm really, really proud of the album, of my tiny baby. It feels like this was how it was supposed to be and how it was supposed to sound like. Like, everything makes sense to me, so I'm just very proud of it. And also, it feels strange to let it go and that it's now, like, it's out there and people can have it and love it or hate it or whatever.
Yeah, it must be a strange one because it's your baby for so long and it's almost your best kept secret. But then when you put it out there, the world can do what they want with it. People can consume it in whatever way they want to, and it's out of your hands then. Is that almost a feeling of relief? Is it a feeling of, are you a bit nervous, a bit scared by it all?
I think mostly relief, and also it was kind of anti-climatic. Like, it wasn't like this big climax where it was like, oh, it's out, and I'm filled with happiness. It's more like a relief, and then it's almost like I feel more empty.
You mentioned earlier that it was your little baby, but I'm listening to it and it's 16 tracks. You've put so much work into this. It's quite a big body of work. When did the work on this album start? Has this been quite a long process?
I started working on the album in, I think, January without knowing I was working on the album. I think we did like Crawl For Me and Robot Lover and a few more tracks. I don't remember which ones. I think those two at least. And then a couple of months went by and was April, and we wrote Lavender in Heaven, which was kind of the moment where I realized or kind of understood that it had to be an album, because I felt like that song was so important for me. It was something I mostly wrote for myself. But when it was finished and I wanted to release that song, I was like, okay, I need to collect what songs that could be together on an EP. But then when I started to collect songs, I'd also written April after, well, in May, and then also La Petite Mort and also At the End of the World. And then suddenly I had all these songs where I'm like, okay, you know what, I need, this is actually an album. And that's how, like, it was a very, like, organic process, but a long process, because most of the productions that I did had to reproduce them, like start from scratch almost. And I did that with Ashel Solstrand, which I wrote Lavender and Heaven with. And then we just continued, like, just producing and re-vocaling and doing all of that stuff for the next 6-7 months. So I had all the lyrics and the songs ready for quite some time, and then we spent most of the time making the rest of the album. Most of the interludes are also just like demos that I made, but that I felt like I needed to have on this album.
The interludes are probably some of my favourite parts of the album. They're beautiful, and it just goes to show that you need to listen to this album from track one right the way through to track 16. It's a body that needs to be explored from front to back. I'd recommend to someone when they're listening to this is to really listen to it all the way through.
Yeah. That's like sort of something I really want for the album. And like, I don't know if people will do it, like listen to through the whole thing, but like all of the interludes and stuff, it's some of them are like, we're changing them, like modulating into the next track. So everything is very connected, and when we did the mastering and everything, I think you have to listen to the album from track one and then to the end, and then you can just start again because it's like everything is very, very connected.
Yeah, it's connected, it's coherent, it's one giant piece that flows from one song to the next. It's absolutely amazing. I want to get into a few of the individual tracks. I've picked out three of my favourites, and that's been the most difficult thing to do. But I suppose in general with the album, I've interpreted it as an exploration of the complexities and messiness of love. That's what I've wrote down. That's my kind of elevator pitch. Would you say there's any truth to that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you pinpointed it pretty well. So that's nice.
Yeah, and I feel that you go into different dimensions of love. You explore different facets of love. And the one particular track that stood out to me, track two, I think you probably knew I might have brought this up, is Robot Lover, because it's 100% one of your best songs. How did this come about?
I wrote it with Vetle Juncker, which is also one of my friends in Bergen. And I write the lyrics first, or I have the lyrics already. And then we start to like produce stuff and like make an atmosphere. So that was basically what we did. And then I really love vocoder. Like the first demo was really like subtle and small and very vulnerable. And then we made it like bigger and more massive and more intense, because it's the embodiment of that feeling of being in a toxic relationship. And even that the feeling is quite like numb and tired, there's still some anger in that body of work, if that makes sense. We knew all along where it was going, that it was like, there's a lot of feeling to harvest in these lyrics and in these melodies, and yeah.
And that's the thing, it's harvesting that feeling, and I think that's what you've done. Well, you've done that expertly across all the 16 tracks, but particularly this one. And the one thing that I loved so much about it is that vocal production. It's almost haunting in some points, but it's beautiful at the same time. Did that take a while to get all those vocals layered in that way?
No, it actually didn't, if that makes sense. It's quick in a way. The most of the vocal layering and stuff is just a vocoder. And then the rest of the harmonies were also like, just had to like make them and record them. So it was a very, like I feel with all of the songs, an organic process. Yeah, we were working from 10 in the morning until late at night. So I don't remember it as taking too long, but maybe it actually did.
It probably did, yeah. Like you saying, working in the morning till at night. But then the thing is because you love it so much, you probably don't pay attention to how long it's taking, right?
Yeah, exactly. I live with two of my friends and they've been like, you've worked so hard the past year now, like they haven't really seen me at all. And I'm like, oh, I haven't noticed. it is like waking up, going to the studio and then never coming back.
For sure. I mean, a 16-track album doesn't just fall out, right?
It was only a thought made up in your head. It was only a dream all in your head. And I didn't mind altering my ways. You took what you wanted from me. You took what you needed. I've become such a shame to give it up, to give it all up. But nothing, nothing makes me freak out.
You took what you wanted from me. You took what you needed. I've become a robot.
I mean, there were so many standouts for me on this album. There was April, of course, but I think that Cruel for me really spoke to me because it's this real synth-laden, sad ballad, but it shows off how delicate and nurturing your voice is. Did the vocal take a while for this? Because the vocals are so sick on it.
Yeah, actually, that one did, because we had a demo vocal that I loved, but it was just too much. It was like just demos. It was a lot of like room noise and all of that stuff. So I had to like recreate that in a way. I did the vocals several times before we found like the right feeling of it. And I had to like try just sitting on the floor with the microphone and just like handheld one. And then like a proper studio microphone. And I just had to try everything.
Yeah. What did you settle for in the end? Did you go for sitting down, holding the mic? Did you go for the sort of more traditional studio setup?
You know what? I actually don't remember. I think we ended up with me doing it with like the studio microphone, because I did it with like on the floor, but then I started changing up the rhythm too much. So it was almost like a shuffle beat in my vocals, which sounded weird, even though the emotion was right.
Amazing. And I'm gonna do a real cliche thing now, and please don't take this the wrong way, because lyrics aren't made to be read out. I get that. They're made to be in the context of the song and how you intend them to be artistically. But there was just a couple of lines from this that really struck me. Corrupting all my thinking, tried to drain you out drinking, but I'm constantly thinking about you, bleeding for my feelings. I mean, you sound really hurt. And is it difficult for you getting this honesty onto paper and into a song?
Not really. I think that's the only way I know how to really talk about my feelings. The moment we like start talking about the lyrics or start talking about the songwriting, I suddenly have like a gateway through the words or to the words where I can sort of communicate again.
Sure. What's your approach to lyric writing? Like, is it one of those things that it will come to you in this flash of inspiration, or are you kind of always putting down lyrics, just anything that comes to your mind throughout the day?
Both. Like I write a lot of, I'm journaling a lot, and then I'm sometimes if I get like into a flow in the zone, I end up starting to translate what I'm writing into English. I'm like, oh, this was actually the curse of being a songwriter, is that everything could be a song, every feeling, every situation could be a song.
Did you have many songs that didn't make the cut for this album?
It was actually just supposed to be 10 songs, and then I just kept writing. But there were like 2 songs that I wanted to have on the album, but I just changed my mind. I didn't have to kill any babies, which is good.
Constantly thinking that
I've spoken about some of the main songs that I like on this, and I had to pick out three, and like I said, that was so difficult. I want to just finish with sort of more moving forward. Do you pay much attention to the noise around your record after you've released it? Do you go online and look at what people are saying, or do you kind of just leave it and think, you know what, my work is done?
Oh, a little bit of both, because I'm also curious what people think in a way, but at the same time it's just I don't have that much time to go and look for it in a way. Like, there's still a lot of work even though the record is out. Like, I'm making lyric videos for all of the songs, and some of them I'm just editing myself. That takes a lot of work. And we also made a music video for La Petite Mort, which was something we just filmed ourselves. We had a friend with us who just like helped us a bit, but like there's still a lot of like creative work that I'm not done with the album, so I still don't have time. And also my plan for the album is just that it will take some time. It can live forever. That's the goal. And then if people listen to it now or in 10 years, that's okay.
In the future, what are your thoughts? What do you want to do? I mean, you've just released a debut album that's incredible, that already sounds so fully realised and it sounds so fantastic. What's next? I wouldn't even know what to do.
Well, I just started on my next album, which is good.
Whoa!
So, yeah, I just went to the studio a couple of days ago. I was like, I have this plan. So I have like 5 songs that I'm like, okay, there's like 3 of them I wrote last year, which is like, I really want them in a body of work. And then there's like 2 other songs that I haven't written yet. It was like, but I love the idea of those. And I have like written the lyrics, and I'm like, I'm just going to start working on that. Thinking about how I want it to sound. Albums are my dream, like making this like whole project of something like that kind of captures a feeling or a time.
Listen, thank you so much for chatting to me and filling me in about all the amazing ins and outs of Love and Other Disasters. It's such a good album, mate. Seriously, you should be so proud. It's so, so good.
That's so nice of you. Whee!
Sick, right? The whole thing. There was three tracks in there. Robot Lover, Voodoo Voodoo featuring Scar, and then also Cruel For Me. Three of my favourites from the album, and I'm sure it will live with you for a long time. Anyway, I'll catch you in a bit.